Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, with additional help from Steven Spielberg and an entire film crew in Uganda, is the story of Rish Lakish and the cannibals. But first, the Halakha Mishnah on daf Mem Vav Amud Beis as an introduction to daf Mem Zayin. Hamocheret atzmo ve'et banav lo'avdei kochavim. It's somebody is desperate for funds. He sells himself and his children to goyim. And then he comes, naturally, to the JNF, you know, whatever community funds, and he says, it's a disaster. I am being worked by these goyim, and I need you to pay them so that I can go free. So why'd you sell yourself? Anyway, so we will not be put to him. This is very similar, of course, to the inyanim of the Tikkun Olam that we discussed before about kidnapping and overpaying for kidnapping or overpaying for tefillin and mezuzahs that goyim come around and sell, which they probably stole and things like that. So here too, as we'll see, we're talking about in a case where the person did this a number of times and therefore is relying on us to take care of him. So if a person is relying on you to take care of him and keeps putting himself into a position where you're going to feel morally needy, that you have to take care of him, then Gufo, we have a takana not to take care of him. Let him not sell himself to Goy. So, or maybe let him not have 500 children when he doesn't have any parnos. I don't know. How do we go that far? So, in any event, the dinners were not paid to them, but after the father dies, and then we've got these kids that were sold by their father, and they no longer have a father to take care of them, and then the likelihood is that they're going to end up basically being completely goyim, forget even where they come from. So over there, in order to prevent them from simply losing their Jewish identity completely, then we will be paid to the bun. Omer Ravasi, now this Mishnah doesn't mean if a person once does this. What it means is, v'usha machar v'shana v'shilesh. This is an individual that makes a habit of this. So he's done this already, this is his third time. That is why we're not going to be put in them. Now, there were these people that came from the town of Beimichse, and they had borrowed a lot of money from a goyim. They didn't have any money to pay back. And so the goyim came, and they took them as slaves to Otavgol Garvilu. So they come to Ravuna. The father comes to Ravuna anyway, and he says, listen, what am I supposed to do, I can't, so I can't be poor to you. So Rabbi Abba said to him, but wait a minute, Rebbe, didn't you teach us that this is only true when he makes a habit of it, and this is the first time that the person is coming to you, so why are you telling him that you don't have any options to be able to be paid to him? Oh, Marley, these people that come from this town, that's what they all do. So, Mimela, Hani, Mirga, Regili, Davdi, Achi. So, over here, the entire place is basically being over on this in order to force other people to come to their rescue. And that's part of this same tekona that we have here. Even though maybe this person himself didn't do it, and it doesn't matter because what we're doing is we're contributing to juvenile delinquency over here. So it was another guy who had sold himself. He was so desperate, he sold himself to the Luddites. Now, these Luddites wouldn't even let him have internet, which meant that he would not be able to attend Daf Yomi, which would have been a disaster. And they had another slight problem, these Luddites. They actually were cannibals. So that was a serious problem, because when they finished using the guy as an Eved, they figured, okay, well, we might as well get a little nourishment. So he was in big trouble. So he goes, and he comes to Rabami, and he says to Rabami, help! You've got to save me. So, Pirkan, be porek me. So, okay. So he said, yeah, I come up with a way in which I can get around this, and I can do it, even though this is something that is done all the time here, and I'm not supposed to, but since it says so what's the svar over here that the Mishnah allows after the death of the father It should be, as the Bach puts in, that what's the svara for that? That's because we're afraid that if there's no longer an av to be shomer them, so then they're going to end up basically losing their identity. Well, over here, they're going to lose a lot more than their identity. I mean, there's all those nice little pieces of body that might disappear into the tummy of the Ludites. So, for sure, I would have a right to be paid to you. So I'm going to be paid to you. So the Rabban and the Talmidim said to Rabbi, this guy, you're going to be paid to this guy? This guy actually is somebody you should have fed to the Ludites in the first place. Richie, just when things were getting beautiful over there, you disappear on me. You've got to get another iPad, one of them for watching you, and one of them for looking at the daf. Every time he looks at the daf, he disappears. Is that what happened, or did you, Badafka, turn it off?
Should we set up a magnet?
It's like, you know, it's like the Mishnah, a guy who's rogil to go traveling and being mapul himself to islands in the middle of nowhere, and then he comes, we should make a magnet?
You know, the old saw about the 400 Zubus wine.
Okay, so they said to him, this is the kind of guy that actually you should have fed to the Ludites, because he is he's a mean, and you're mechuyav dafka moridim oto. He's Yisrael mumer, because we've seen him eating at McDonald's. Kachozoveta ka'achel nevelos v'treifas. Rami said, I mean, you can't conclude on that basis that he's a mumer. I mean, maybe he just likes eating at McDonald's. I mean, he's hungry and there's nothing else available. So then that would just prove that, you know, I understand that he's not the nicest guy, but he doesn't have the din of a min that we're moridim. Is it mormelate avon? No, they said. We know that sometimes he has kosher meat, a delicious hamburger in front of him, and he bedafka goes and eats a tray for meat. That zimna deika hetera v'yisura kameh v'shavek hetera v'ochel yisura. Omar Leis, Rami said to the guy, listen here, I really tried, but you know, you've basically sealed all of the approaches. I can't figure out how to rescue you. Happy cooking. Okay, so that was that story. Now, Reish Lakish, and we know that Reish Lakish was a tough kind of character, the head of the mafia. Tosfos understands that this Gemara now is talking about before Reish Lakish had joined up the Talmid HaChachomim, because, I mean, this story is not the kind of thing that an Amira does, but others say, why not? Reish Lakish was quite a character, and there's no reason why he wouldn't have gone after these cannibals even after he was the Talmud in the yeshiva. Get rid of the Ludites. Why not? So anyway, so he once sold himself to these Ludites, and he figured, I'm going to get rid of these guys once and for all. This is outrageous. So what does he do? So he takes along a little bag, you know, he pretends he's got like a little sandwich in this bag he's got in the, you know, he's carrying it over him like a poor guy who's got nothing. Inside that bag, he's got one of the weights from the gym that he was practicing at, and he's got this 30-kilo weight, but it doesn't, it's like solid lead, so it doesn't take up any space. So he said, you know, this is the way we're going to do it. I know, Gemiri, the Yuma Basra, the last day after they finish using the guy up and before they want to make, you know, he can't get too stringy, I mean, if they're going to eat him. So what they do is they offer him his last wish. Is there anything you would like? The reason they do that is called the Boy Minayu Avdil. Anything that he asks of them, they do his last request. Why? Ki eche de leichel domi. Rashi learns eche de leichel domi means that the guy would be meichel them, like he'll feel, you know, that, okay, at least they're trying to make me happy. I mean, it's sort of a funny kind of approach. So leichel, remember, has a double meaning. I mean, there's leichel can mean not to be meichel, but leichel could mean chali in Aramaic, which is that it tastes sweet, which is the way the Oroch learns it. So that if he had some nachas ruach before they cook him up, so then he tastes a little better. So, you know, they wanted him to have some sweetness to him. So, okay. So sure enough, Yuma Basra, so the last day when they're about to cook him, so they say to him, okay, what would you have as your last request? Oh, he says to them, I am so angry that you're doing this to me. At least I want to get my own licks in, you know? So I've got this little bag over here. Let me at least just pretend to hit you with my little bag so I can at least feel I slapped you. So I'm going to tie you up and slap you. Yeah, so, it's all a little game. Obviously, they can untie them. They can just pull the threads apart. But they're all going through the game. So, Bina, Akamtincho, Votvincho, Vachochai Binacho, Amchaya Chaita Vapalga. I'm going to hit each of you 1.5 times. Meaning, just let me do a little something, you know. So I said, okay, fine. So he ties them all up. Now, he was extremely strong, which they didn't realize. And he was also extremely knowledgeable about precisely where to hit somebody and how to hit somebody. And that's exactly what he did. He gave them one little tap, which they thought was one little tap. Meanwhile, he killed the guy on the spot. And he did it in such a way that the person froze in his last instant. It was so incredibly painful that he gritted his teeth. Ah! And then he just froze like that. So it looked like he was smiling. So Reish Lakish would yell at the guy, what kind of business is this? You laugh at me for my last request? Remember, I said 1.5 times, I only hit you one. Meanwhile, the guy's dead. All right, so then he moves on to the next guy, does the same thing, and everybody's laughing, very funny, and we go down the line, and meanwhile, he knocks them all off. So ko chad minayu, kad machi chad chayta, nafak nishmate, the guy was dead. Charkine l'shine, and he was in a gnashing his teeth in such a way that he looked like he was smiling. Amalei, what? This is how you treat me? You're sitting there laughing at me. Remember, I still owe you half of another one. In the end, katina l'kulo, and then he left and went back home. Now, Reish Lakish, in general, would never plan for tomorrow. He's mamash a hippie. And whatever it is that he had, he would just use up. You know, I don't know. Who knows? Tomorrow I may be dead. And if I have a little bit of money today, use it. So that's what he would do. Yativ ka'acha v'shasi, he would eat, drink, anything that he had that day, never put anything away, even though he's very poor. So his daughter once said, Dad, lo ba'it mineilim, don't you want me to mizgalei? I mean, it would be so nice at your age to have like a little mattress or something. I mean, it's so uncomfortable to be moving around like this. Amarle, are you kidding? My dear daughter, look at my tummy. It's got so much fat. It's the best mattress you could ever have. I sleep on my tummy more comfortable than any Sealy. Anyway, Kinoch Nafshe, on the day that he died, he was left in the house with a Kaba de Murika. So he had basically his full estate was one kav of saffron. And that's all that he had left over. And he was miserable. He sees that he's not going to finish this last little package of saffron to color his rice. And he says, that's what Shlomo HaMelech wrote. I mean, what David HaMelech wrote. Yachad ksil vavar yovedu viyazvu l'acherim chelam. To leave all of their power to others. I can't believe I'm dying before I finish this last 2 cents worth of saffron. A disaster. And so, even though he tried to live all his days as a hippie, it didn't work out at the end. An absolute establishment person with an estate. Anyway, this is Reish Lakish. Well, the characters in the Gemara.
Ready? I just read the Reader's Digest shortest will. Being of sound mind, I spent all the money.
Very good. This, Richie, is a message. No leaving over first-class plane tickets.
That's why I do all these trips. But they tell me, don't spend your money.
Okay, donkey, very good. So we are ready, Sir Richard. Now, somebody sells his field in Eretz Yisrael. He sells this to a guy. So now, That's it. We don't want people to be selling fields in Eretz Yisrael. Lokeach u'mevi mimenu bikurim b'pnei tikuno olam. So this is Rashi's girsa. Rashi's girsa is that he has to buy back the perot of the bikurim that grow in that field, and he has to bring the bikurim to Yerushalayim b'pnei tikuno olam, in order that people should not sell their fields. And this is how Rashi's girsa has it. However, other Rishonim don't have this girsa. They have a girsa, halokeach mevi mimeno bikurim, that if somebody, it's nothing to do with the guy who sells it, if somebody buys these peres, then he should know that they are chayev in bikurim, even though they were sold to a goy, and therefore that person that buys has to take on himself to bring bikurim if he buys out the fruit. Okay, a totally different approach. So now, I mean, according to Rashi, why are we saying that he's got to go and buy the bikurim? That's very strange. So Rashi explains an important halacha, and that is that when it comes to taking off trumas and maisras, you don't have a chiev to take off trumas and maisras unless you're planning on eating. So in other words, if you're going to eat it and it's tevel, then you have to be metaken the tevel before you eat it. But suppose you have no intention of eating it. You don't have a positive chiyuv to go run and take off trumas and maisras if the stuff is not going to be eaten. Masha inken, when it comes to bikurim, bikurim is a mitzvah chiyuvit, and therefore you have to go make sure that the bikurim were taken from this field. Okay, this is how Rashi understands it. Lemaisa, there's a lot of discussion about this point at all. As well, there's a shach that says otherwise about trumas and maisras, and they have an actual chiev to take trumas and maisras. Fine. Interesting question. But you could see we have two totally different interpretations of this takana. So in other words, the way Rashi is learning it, it's similar to the kind of idea that we had about buying back your eved in order that he not be sold to chutz la'aretz, to be sold to a goy, I mean. Okay, in here we're talking about buying, so to speak, buying back the food, and that way you're not going to sell to a goy. This time it's talking about your son. Omar Rabba. Now the question is, what is the din of land in Eretz Yisrael that is sold to a goy? Does it retain the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and its chayev in trumas and maisras and bikurim, or did the very fact that it was sold to a goy mean that yesh kinya gavi, don't hide, you got to write this down. So, yesh kinyan la'akum, be'eretz Yisrael, la'afkia midei ma'asrot. So there might be, and there's a shita that holds that if a goy buys the land, so then that land is mufka from kedushas ha'aretz, vis-a-vis the chiyuvim of the matanais, and then the chiyuvim of the bikurim. So Rabbah says, and you can see why this is no ge'ar mishnah, is the sale to the goy, is that going to take off the chiyuv of bikurim, or does the chiyuv of bikurim remain as appears from the Mishnah? So Rabbah says, "Hava pishein kinyan lo v'kachom v'eretz Yisrael lafkia midei ma'aser." So even though a goy does not have any real kinyanim to prevent the maestros from being chal, shenemar ki li ha'aretz means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Li kedushat ha'aretz, Tainas Rava. It doesn't mean li, because it says aretz satan livnei adam. So li ha'aretz means the kedusha, that's a given, that's mine. You cannot sell away the kedusha of my land. Avo yesh kinyan lo'ovit kochavim eretz Yisrael, lachpor bo'barot shechinu ma'arot. There are actual rights of ownership. I mean, he could mess it up by turning it into a parking lot or whatever. That's a din in the usage of the actual property. Masha'in king, when it comes to the kedusha, if it's used agriculturally, it doesn't lose its kedusha. Shenema ha-shamayim la-shamayim la-shem, v'yaretz natan livnei adam. That's Rabba's approach. Rabbi Elazar says just the opposite. Afal pi, sheyesh kinyan lo'ovik ochavim be'eretz Yisrael afkia midei ma'aser. So that even though I can show you that there is no chiyuv of trumas and maisras on land that a goy used to grow property, because it says in the Torah, specifically digancha, the only time that you're chayav, v'chalta lifnei Hashem lokecha b'makom asher yivchar, etc., etc., ma'asar digancha tiroshecha yitzarecha, means it's got to be yours, but not the dagan, the tirosh, and yitzar of anovi kechovim, which means that dafka, if he did buy that land, then it's not going to be chayav, even if you bought that grain from him. It's not the gancha. It wasn't grown in Eretz Yisrael. So he holds the exact opposite. Masha enkin, enkin yan lo vekechovim b'Eretz Yisrael, lach porbo borot shechinu ma'arot. There is no right for a goy to own something in Eretz Yisrael in terms of ruining it. Shenemar la Hashem ha'aretz. So since it says la Hashem ha'aretz, the most that the goy has the right to is not the goof of the karka, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be giving the goof of the karka back to us, so what rights does he have to ruin it? He only has the rights to Paris, so he can use it to grow things. But Michael Miflege, Mar Savar, so here the question is how to read that pasuk of Digancha. Does Digancha mean your Dagan, like Rabbi Elazar says, meaning that it's what it is that you grew? So that's what he owns. Digan chav lo dagan oved kochavim. If it grew in the reshus of the goy, it's his ground, so then it's not kodesh. Mashen kein rabba holds, the way to read digan cha is diguncha, the one who turns it into dagan. What turns it into dagan? That's the last step of preparing it. Digun is where the actual grains, having now been put into a pile of grain, and then you do the smoothing out. That's called digun. So now you've got a beautiful pile of actual grains as opposed to just a bunch of plants. That's what it means. So if you did the digun, then it becomes chayav. But the digun of a goy is not going to be chayav. But therefore, if you now did that digun, even if it grew in the reshus of a goy, that would not take off the chiyuv. So that is the reason that he says, Rabba, you're not going to be able to remove the kedusha sa'aretz. Omar Rabba, I'll prove it to you. Ditnan, what about the Mishnah in Peah, where it says, haleket v'ashikcha v'apeah shel ovei kochavim chayavim b'maaser? Now, how are you going to explain that Mishnah to me? So what does that mean? I mean, it says, Elim Kein Hifkir. It's only going to be Chayav and Maaser if he, now, I don't know who he is. I don't know what the case is over here. Tell me what you think we're talking about, okay? Echidami. That what? That it's Leket Shikha Upeya, that a Jew left in his own Sada. And when it says Leket Vashikha Upeya Shal Ovekochavim, it means that the Goy came, took the Leket Shikha Upeya from a Jewish field, and it says over there that it's not going to be chayev in Trumas and Maisras unless the owner had been mafkir them. What do you mean the owner had been mafkir them? If they're lekachik hopeya, they are hefker. Isn't that the din of lekachik hopeya? That they're potter from Maisr because they're the equivalent of hefker. And we learn that out of the pasuk where we talk about ein lo chelek v'nachalayimach. You're supposed to give your things to the Levi because, oh, he doesn't have a chelek v'nachala. Mashen kein over here in leket shikopeya yeshlo chelek v'nachala imach. So that would mean that essentially they're mufkar already. So that can't be the explanation, says Rabbah. Therefore, you're going to have to explain this Mishnah and Peah like me and what it means, El Alav, that actually it's talking about leket shikha upeya of a non-Jewish field. The field belonged to a goy, and since everyone in this area was leaving Leket Shikopeya, he wanted to look like, he's also a moral person, so he leaves Leket Shikopeya, which, of course, he's not chayav in. A Jew came along, and he collected that Leket Shikopeya, and then, if the goy was mafkirit, so then there would be a chiyav of actually taking off Maaser. But you see, says Rabbah, the only reason that you're chayev, we're saying over here, the if he would not have been the only reason that he can get away without taking off the miser from the leker chikopeya, which isn't really leker chikopeya, is because the goy was mafkirit. So that turned it into the same as leker chikopeya. But suppose the goy had not been mafkirit, the fact that he calls it leker chikopeya doesn't make it putter. But wait a minute. What about the fact that it was owned by a goy? According to you, that should make it potter. And it doesn't. So you see that I'm right. And you see from here that ein kinyan la'akum eretz Yisrael lafkei midei ma'asrot, unless it was literally hafker. Now, says the Gemara, nice try, Rabbah, but that's certainly not the only way to read the Mishnah. We could read it as referring to a leket shikopeya v'yisrol soda. And it's talking about that a goy went ahead and he said, well, I'm poor, so I have a right to take the leker chikopeya. And it says over there that actually if you buy that, you would have to take off trum as a maestras unless it was hefker. What does that mean? I thought it's already hefker because it's leker chikopeya. That's not a taina. Dika amritam afker v'kaima, you say, what do you mean? Make it hefker. It is hefker. Excuse me. It's not hefker. Because Nehidim Afkari Adaita the Yisrael, look, the owner thought that he's going to be Mafkarit in order for Yisrael to come and to take it. But if he would have known that a goy is going to come around to take his stuff, would he ever have been Mafkarit? He would never have thrown it and said, whoever wants can take it, obviously. I think a bunch of Arabs are going to come and be nene from the things that I left out there. So that's why they're not going to be potter from misers if a goy takes them. But we're not talking about things that a goy grew. We're talking about things that a Jew grew. Now let's see if we can bring a raya actually to Rabbi Lazar, that a goy does have a kinyan in order to potter you from misers. Tashma, take a look at the braisa. A Jew buys a field from a goy. So you saw Shalakar Sodom Yevikachavim. Now, he buys this before the grain that was growing in it got to one-third of its growth. Now, that's the shear, once it's maybe shlish, that's the shear that's b'chayev you in taking miser, and then once it reaches the gemar of the digon, that's when it actually is also to eat before taking miser. So let's imagine a case like this. The grain grew while it was in the rishus of the goy. But the Yisroel bought it before it had reached the stage of one-third. Then it reaches the stage of one-third in the rishus of the Yisroel, and then he sells the field back after it was maybe shlish. So basically, while it reached the level that was mechayev him in Meiser, which is shlish, it was in the rishus of the Yisroel. So it says over here in the Braisa, in that case, since it was in the Rishus of the Yisrael during the time that it matured to one-third of its growth, it remains chayev even if he sells it back to a goy. Why? Shekvar nitchayva? Because it already became chayev while it was in the Rishus of the Yisrael. What does that mean? Doesn't that say very clearly? The only reason that it's chayev is because it was in the Rishus of the Yisrael who had bought it when it became chayev. But suppose that wouldn't have been the case, and it would have grown in the rishus of the goy, then it would not have been chayev. Lo nit chayev lo. So you see very clearly that if this field is owned by a goy, then it's potter from miser, which is clearly the opposite of what Rabbah was saying. Yes, that's true, but it's not a proof of anything, says Rabbah, because what we could be talking about over here is besuria. So this was in those areas, remember Aram Tzova, we've discussed this before, that David HaMelech was Kevesh before he was Kevesh, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's considered to be a Kivush Yachid, and Kasavar Kivush Yachid Lav Shmei Kivush. So therefore, Mi'ikar HaDin Surya is not Chayev in these things, because it doesn't have the Kedusha Sa'aretz Mini Araisa. And therefore, since it's only the Rabbanan to take off Trumas and Meisers in Surya, the Rabbanan were not Makbid, and there they were Mekil to say what it is that Rabbi Elazar was claiming, which I feel is wrong in Eretz Yisrael. Namely, in Syria, it's true that Yesh Kinyan La'akum, since it's only Drabonu Chiyav anyway, says Rabbi over there, I go along with what he said, Yesh Kinyan La'akum B'Syria, to be Mafkia Midei Ma'asrot. Okay, says the Gemara, how about this? Here's a good raya to Rabbi Elazar, Tashma. How about if a Jew and a Goy go into a joint ownership of a field? So they buy this field as partners. Lakhut sadeh b'shutafut. What's the din of what grows in that field? Well, every single piece of tfua or peres in that field is basically mixed tevel and chulin, because some of it came from the field that belongs to the Yisrael, and some of it came, so to speak, in other words, every molecule is basically growing both from the Akum and from the Yisrael. So what you have is a mixture of Tevel and Chulin. So it says Rebbe. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, when they split it, we can rely on Brera. And remember, Brera says that whatever you ended up with, that's the part that is considered to be yours from the beginning. So therefore, the part that ended up growing in the chelik of the Akum is Pater, and the part that grew in the chelik of the Yisrael, now it turns out, was retroactively entirely chayiv in Trumas and Maisus, and that's pure teva. Now, you'll note, says the Gemara, that the only machlokas between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel is whether we rely on Brera. That's the only question over here. But everyone agrees that so long as we do not have some mechanism to be able to clearly separate out, it doesn't matter, because we're both saying that the part that belonged to the Goy is clearly not going to be Chayev. The only question is, can I determine which part that was, which part that was? But that's a separate issue. But you see for sure that the only machlokas is that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds Yesh Brera and Rebbe held Ein Brera. But as far as the fundamental principle, all were agreed that the part that was owned by the Goy is certainly not Chayev, and therefore it seems that everyone is made a Yesh Kinyan Lovik Chaver Tzisrael Afkibi De Maaser, the exact opposite of Rabbah, precisely what Rebbe Elazar was saying. Answers the Gemara, yes, but I'll give you the same terrors I gave you before. We're talking over here, Bisuria, Vikasova Kivush Yachid, Lav Shmei Kivush. So therefore, you cannot bring a raya from here. And so finally, we come to our Mishnah, which is, of course, the whole reason that we're bringing this sugya here. Omer b'chia baravi. Well, take a look at our Mishnah. Tashma. Hamocher sadeh lo aved kochavim. What happens? We'll take Rashi's approach to the Mishnah now. That the person is mechuyev to go ahead, buy the bikurim, and bring them to Yerushalayim, mipnei tikkun olam. Now, what does that mean when it says Mnei Tikkun Olam? Apparently, the only reason for this is because we don't want people to sell their fields in Eretz Yisrael. But as far as the Diorites is concerned, there would certainly be no Chiyav Midiorite Lo. Why no? Because the Goy owns the field and there's no Chiyav of Bikurim. So that it's clearly saying that Mi'ikar Hadin, there would be no Chiyav to bring Bikurim. Ravashi, no, you're misunderstanding the whole thing here. Not necessarily. What could be is like this. Maybe there were two stages to this takana. Mi'ikara avimaisi miniraisa. Used to be that, again, this is Rashi's approach, that if somebody would sell a field, so since the chiyuv in that field is a mitzvah chiyuvit to bring bikurim, and he never took off that chiyuv, because basically, when the Akum is Kena, he only has the Kenyan of Paris, apparently, because he's not able to take off the actual Gufa Karka. So they used to go ahead and bring it Midiraisa. Then the Chachomim saw that people were not so makbid about selling their fields to Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't feel guilty because they said, look, we're not taking off the Kedusha Sa'aretz. Vaharaya, we're still bringing Bikurim. We're simply allowing the Goy basically to buy the fruit. That's what it ends up being. So what's so terrible about that? So because of the Hanhaga Midiraisa, the people would be makel about selling, because the Savi Bigdushatayo Kaimon, they figured, well, we didn't do anything bad. The Eretz is still Kodesh. So then the Chachomi made a takana. No more bringing Bikurim. We want people to feel rotten when they sell fields in Eretz Yisrael. So they stop feeling, selling. So Takinulu de lo laisa, they made a takana, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, not to bring Bikurim. So then they saw that even though they made that takana, if somebody was desperate for money, given to Chozu de Mandalo Sagile Mizame, somebody who was desperate for funds would sell anyway. And basically, because they didn't have to buy back the Bikurim, Komishtaka'an Biyadov de Kochavim, they would leave the land in the hands of the other Kochavim, and the parts of Eretz Yisrael would end up belonging to the church. God help us. So then they made a second takana. And this takana was that they're mechuyev to bring Bikurim. So Lamaisa, what it says over here is a takana, was a takana to recreate the chi of the araisa that the original takana had taken off. Therefore, on the contrary, it's basically saying what I'm saying, says Rabbah, namely, that the kinyan of an akum in Eretz Yisrael is not mafkia midei ma'asrot. Okay, so let me ask you something else. So now you're saying that you're looking at it as if the goyim were sold the rights only to the perah. So let me ask you something. Suppose somebody, another Jew, he goes ahead and he buys the rights to the perahs in your field. So who would say, I mean, he's going to bring the Bikurim because they're his parents. Can he still say the Pasuk Adama Shenatatali if he says, I'm bringing these Bikurim? Because, I mean, he doesn't really own the property. He only owns the payrise. Now, this is, of course, the famous question that we've had in so many contexts. Is Kinyan Peirot Kinyan Haguf Tami Gavi? This is the second thing we have to make sure to write down later. The first one was the question of Yesh Kinyan Akum Eretz Yisrael Lahavkia Midei Ma'asrot. So, this is actually a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says he has to bring the Bikurim, and he even says the Pasuk Adama Shenatatali. Why? Because Kinyan Peirot give you actual rights to the goof. Whereas Rish Lakish says he brings the Bikurim, but he cannot say the Pasuk Shenatatali. So Rabbi Yochanan maybe Bikore, because he owes Kinyan Perot ki Kinyan Haguf Tami, and therefore basically it's the equivalent of really owning it. Whereas Rish Lakish Tamar, maybe Veinu Kore, he holds Kinyan Perot lavka Kinyan Haguf Tami, and therefore he can't say Hadam Hashanatatami, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give me the rights to this land. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, it says in the Braisa that Visamachta Becholatu, which tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave lecha ulaveitecha. Why does it say ulaveitecha? This teaches us that a beitcha is, of course, ishtecha. So if a man was bringing bikurim from his wife's nichsei maluk, and remember the halach of nichsei maluk is that the husband has a right to what? Only to the peirot. And after divorce or his death, the nichsei maluk belongs to her. He can't sell his nechsei maluk either. So melamed, this word ulebeitecha tells me that if a man is bringing bikurim from his wife's nechsei maluk, he is also v'samachta, meaning that he's mevi bikurim and he's korei. How could that be? Obviously, the fact that he has a right to use the peres of nechsei maluk is enough for him to say ha'adama shenatatali. Ha! So you see that the Kinyan Peres is definitely Kinyan Aguf. Says Reish Lakish, what do you mean? You can't bring a raya from here. This is obviously a special case because of the relationship to the wife. Otherwise, why would it say Leveitecha? If the din is that Kinyan Peres is always Kinyan Aguf, I don't need a pasuk to tell me Leveitecha. So that means the Torah is telling us a Gzeres HaKasa, that dafka, in a case where the Kinyan Peres comes because of the relationship between a husband and a wife, there's a sense of ownership which allows him even this way to say, Asher Natatali. Well, that's one approach. Ikani Amri, Others say, on the contrary, Reish Lakish originally was the one who asked this to Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Ulevetecha, which means that an Adam is mevi bikurim from his wife, right? So here's my point, says Reish Lakish. It's mashma that it's only because the Torah says, Ulevetecha, and you're talking about bikurim from Nichsei Maluk. But as a general principle, where a person is going to be bringing bikurim from peres that he owns, where he doesn't own a kinyan aguf, so over there, he would actually be alma. Normally, we would never have said that kinyan peres ki kinyan aguf. So what do you make of that, Rabbi Yochanan? Why did the Torah bother saying of lebetecha? Ha! Says Rabbi Yochanan. Funny question. That's where I learned the whole din from, silly. If it wouldn't have been from this pasuk, I never would have known that the din of kinyan peres is ki kinyan aguf. Since the Torah said lebetecha, now I know. This is what you're asking me, from the one case which is the makor of the halacha. Esve. So Reish Lakish has another problem with Rabbi Yochanan from another price. Hayababa derech. A guy is on the road carrying the bikurim of his wife. Bikurei ishto biyado, and he's bringing this to Yerushalayim, and then he gets a telegram that his wife died and that he is the heir. Now he owns the actual property. What's the din? Mevi v'korei. Oh, says Reish Lakish. What is he from here? That the only reason that he's mevi v'korei is because she died. Now he owns the actual gufa karka. But otherwise, lo meta lo. If she hadn't died and he only had the kinyan peres, so apparently he would not have been kore. No, not necessarily. I mean, what did the afak of the lo meta? It would have been exactly the same. We're not talking about the problem of whether he could be kore because it's not considered to be his kinyan. We're talking about an entirely different issue over here, and you missed the whole point. And that is, there's a chiddush that even though she was meta, and now he owns the property as a kinyan aguf, even so he will be kore. What? Yes, because I'll tell you why. There's a very interesting halacha that you are not thinking about. And that's the problem over here. Salkadai Techamina, I might have thought that in a case like this, where there was a transference of the ownership, during the time that he was bringing the Bikurim before he got a chance to actually bring them into the Beis HaMikdash. So Salkadai Techamina, I might have thought that we should make a gezerah because of the special halacha that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina points out. The Omer Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Suppose somebody was botzer, he got his grapes from his own vine, and he sends them to Yerushalayim with a shliach, v'shigron biyat shliach. Then the shliach dies before he was able to actually bring them in the Beis HaMikdash. And then the owner says, oh my gosh, I heard the shliach died. He goes and he travels to Yerushalayim so that he can still save the day and take those peres and bring them for Bikurim. Amazingly, he's not going to be kori in that case. Why? Shenemar velakachta veheveta, which means the lakicha and the hava has to be done by the same individual. And since over here he had the first part bringing the Bikurim, was done by one guy, the shliach, and now the actual hava in the Beis HaMikdash is done by somebody else, there's no singing of the Parshas Bikurim because of the pasuk Yizeres HaKosev, Lekicha and Hava Be'echad. So I might think that maybe we should be gozer over here, that the husband who inherited his wife and becomes a new owner is now not going to be kore either. Because basically, between the lakicha and the actual hava, it's like two different people. In one sense, he's only an owner of a peres. He's a kena peres, because it was the same aluk. And now he's the actual owner of the field. So it's like two different people brought it. Kamash malon. That's the chiddush that the price is saying. Even though, binogea, two actually different individuals, it would be a problem. In this case, we don't have to worry about it. And he can still bring and read the Parshas Bikurim. But it's not that only because the wife died. That's a complete misunderstanding. It's actually backwards. Now, this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is a machlokas that is a long-term machlokas. It comes up in many places. And Ozula Tamayhu, they are both being very, very consistent about the din of Kinyan Peres. Because here, take a look at this case. Hamolchar Sadeu Bizman Shayovel Noheh. Now, if somebody sells a field during the time that Yovel is in force, what is he really selling? Well, he's not selling the rights to the field because the field is going to be taken away from him. So basically, he's selling the rights for the next 50 years worth of the Peres. That's all. But the buyer essentially, I mean, if he wants to buy it back, he's going to be able to be paid at that field based on the value of the Peres of each year. What does this field get you every year? What's it worth? So basically it boils down to selling only Kinyan Peres. Okay. Now in that case, Rabbi Yochanan says during those 50 years, the person who bought the Kinyan Peres is maybe Bikurim, and he says, Adama Shanatatali. Obviously, this is Rabbi Yochanan saying that it is a Kinyan Peres is the same as owning the field. Whereas Reish Lakish, consistent with his own opinion, says, no, during the 50 years, the person is going to bring Bikurim, but he can't say Adama Shanatatali because it does not belong to him since it's going to go back to the owner during Yovel. Rabbi Yochanan, let's spell it out. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Meviv Korei, because he holds Kinyan Perot, Kinyan Aguf Tami. Reish Lakish Amar Meviv Eino Korei, because he holds Kinyan Perot, Lavka Kinyan Aguf Tami. So it boils down to the same question that we had over here. Someone was Mocher Perais, Mocher Sada for Perais, versus someone who was Merkel the son. Now the question is, why do we need Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to argue the same machlokas in two different places? Basically, it's the same thing. Mokum Sheyovel Noeg is the equivalent of a mechira of this sada for the Peres. So why did they have to have this special case that they argued about Hamocher Sadeu le Peres? That's the same case, says the Gemara. It's not, because Vitzricha, even though underlying principles may be the same, it's still necessary for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to express their opinion in both situations. Why? Because the Itmar Baha, let's see, we only won the case that we started with. Somebody sells his sada and he says openly, I'm making this as a sale, not of the land, but of the rights to the parents. So I might have thought that case is where Reish Lakish was willing to say that it's not the case that he would be mevi v'kere. Because there, d'chi kanachit adaita the pera kanachit. When the guy comes into this field and he's kena this field, he knows full well that his das is he's only going to be in possession of the peras. And therefore, he himself would not feel that this is Adama Asher Natatali Hashem, still waiting. And therefore, I'm saying that he should not be Kairi. Asher Ein Kain. I mean, come on. A guy goes and he buys a field, goes through the land, the registry. Everything is like, nobody talks about Paris. They're talking about buying the land. So you're saying, okay, but he knows deep down he's going to have to be giving this land back in 50 years. He's going to have to be giving this land back to the owner. You know, that's like saying you have to give your soul back to the owner. I mean, we don't think about that till it's time. So therefore, this guy, basically, he's looking at this as his own. He goes down there in order to buy a field. The fact that everything we do on this earth is temporary doesn't bother him. And because of that, he feels this is my field. And therefore, maybe Reish Lakish would agree to Rabbi Yochanan. So Bahach, the Adaita de Gufe Kanachit, maybe he would be made to Rabbi Yochanan. And on the contrary, let's say we would have known only Rabbi Yochanan's opinion about somebody who bought a field during the period of Yovel. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan says that that's the equivalent of Kinyan Aguf, because that is the way people view Kinyan Aguf. And therefore, it is certainly understandable that he should thank the good Lord for Ha'adamah Shenatatali. I mean, the fact that it'll be taken away from me in 50 years, so therefore I shouldn't say Modeh Ani Lefanecha Melech Chai V'Kayam and so on. I mean, big deal. Right now, it's mine. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan says it. But in a case where the guy said Beferish, I am only buying the rights to the parents. Okay, over there, the person does not have any relationship to the Adama qua Adama, and therefore he wouldn't be able to say, maybe, I would have thought that Rabbi Yochanan would have agreed that he would not be able to say, Adama shenatatami. So maybe, Ema modi lele resh lakish. Therefore, I need to know that they argue in all cases, no matter what the intent was of the person, it's the same achlokas. Do we hold kinyan aguf as a kinyan peres, or kinyan aguf lav ke kinyan peres dami? Now the question is it time for the Barnea daily message, or is Barnea going to prove that he doesn't have a daily message?
Just by a grapevine, which was the gift
of the grape. There we are. So we do have Barnea's neighborhood with us today. Can you please focus on the grapevine for today's show and tell, Rabbi Barnea, so that at least we know what is meant by someone who picks grapes?
But I'm also standing to tell the story of Senenbosik and Yonatan here in the valley by Mishmash. That's why we're standing. The grapevine was because of this guy.
I see. But what about what we'd really like to see is your showing and telling us what it's like to be with those Luddites and their pots. How about, see, you do that, huh? Ah, what do you know about these Luddites? Ah, just mentioning Luddites and his phone goes dead. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. And watch out for the Luddites in the background. Kotuv.